Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we are starting this journey through the Psalms of Ascents, and we did say last week that it is a plural word, so I'll say that, and it'll sound strange to you for a while, but it is the Psalms of Ascents. And we're starting this journey. These are songs that pilgrims of God sang as they made their way to the presence of God in Jerusalem. And for us, we sing these songs as we make our pilgrim way through this world, as we make our way toward the heavenly Jerusalem and toward the very presence of God. And the Psalms of Ascents begin in what may seem a really strange place. I don't know if you took some time to begin reading ahead this last week, but this psalm may not be what you were expecting, and even the very beginning of the psalm may not be where you're expecting, because the psalm begins with a distress call. The psalm begins with a call for help, and that may seem like a strange place to begin a journey. I don't know about your journeys as you have loaded your cars and got ready to take a trip, and you're getting everything together. You may have had a distress call or two as you begin some of those journeys. But these pilgrims begin with a distress call, and we begin with that distress call. And it's really not a strange place to begin, because very honestly, the best motivation to get up and go somewhere new, the best motivation to get up and go somewhere better, the best motivation and to get up and go somewhere higher is when you are unsatisfied with where you are currently. Does that make sense? The best motivation I have to move on is because I don't like where I am right now. And when I'm in distress, that's a good motivation to go toward something that is better, to get moving. And so let's go. Most of the time, a person has to be thoroughly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to change. Dave Ramsey talks about this all the time in Financial Peace, that we have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired before we actually make a change in our life. And Psalm 120 is a psalm for a person who is sick and tired of being sick and tired. Psalm 120 is a psalm for a person who is dissatisfied with the way things are, who are longing for something better, who are sick of the lies. We're going to see that in this psalm. Who are tired of the hate. We're going to see that in this psalm. Who are sick and tired of what is going on in the world. Can anybody relate to that? So that's where this journey begins. And the song that we are going to sing isn't necessarily a beautiful song today. It isn't even a happy song. But it's a real song. And it's an honest song. And it's a song that cries out for help. And so let's read from Psalm 120 again. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with coals, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long I have lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. The psalmist is experiencing what I call holy discontent. Holy discontent. It's what Christians, honestly, in every age, have experienced as we walk through this world trying to live for God. We experience holy discontent. It's just a feeling that something is not right. It's a feeling that things are not right. And in fact, things are very wrong. I like the way verse 2 reads in the Message. It says, deliver me. And by the way, let me just stop for a second and tell you something you may or may not know. Many of you have enjoyed over the last 20 or 30 years a translation, or paraphrase really, of the Bible called The Message that Eugene Peterson wrote. Well, Eugene Peterson began creating that paraphrase as he worked through the Psalms of Ascents. And he wrote a book. It's a book I highly recommend to you, called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And it's a book that he put together working through the Psalms of Ascents. And as he preached those sermons in his church, he paraphrased, came up with his own translation of these Psalms. And that was the beginning of what now is something that many of us read, and that's called The Message. So I just thought you would be interested in that. In The Message, in verse 2, Peterson wrote it this way, deliver me from the liars, O God. They smile so sweetly, but they lie through their teeth. And we don't have to look very far in any direction around us to experience what the writer is talking about. In his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson said it this way, and it sure echoes with my heart and my soul. Deliver me from the lies of advertisers who claim to know what I need. Deliver me from the lies of entertainers who promise a cheap way to joy. Deliver me from the lies of politicians who promise they have the answers to my problems. Deliver me from the lies of psychologists who offer to shape my behavior and morals so that I will be happy. Deliver me from the lies of humanists who promote me to the office of captain of my own fate. Deliver me from the lies of religious leaders who get rid of God's commands so that I won't feel inconvenienced. Deliver me from those who tell me of life and omit Christ. Let me say that one again. Deliver me from those who tell me of life but omit Christ, who are wise in the ways of the world but foolish in the ways of the Spirit. See, I can relate to the psalmist. I feel like I am surrounded by lies. I feel it more now than I've felt it in years. I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to listen to. I don't know what expert is correct in telling me the truth. I feel like everywhere I look and listen, I'm surrounded by lies. And I'll be honest with you, I'm sick and tired of it. That's where the psalmist was. That's where many of us are. And like the psalmist, I want God to do something about it. Don't you? That's why he cries out to God, because he wants God to do something about the lies, to do something about the hate, to do something about the discord and the unrest. God, where are you? I cry out to you for help. But then he goes even further, and I honestly go here too. He begins to speak the judgment that he wants God to bring down. Okay, all you liars. Okay, all you deceivers. Okay, all you haters. Okay, everybody who's making this world not worth living in right now. Here's what I want God to do. I want him to send his swift, sharp arrows. Come down, God, and bring judgment. I want him to heap down burning coals on all of his enemies. That's what the psalmist calls for God to judge, for God to destroy the people who make this world a hard place to live. A cry out to God to punish evil, to punish them with sharp arrows and burning coals. It's a cry for justice. It's a cry that emanates from our hearts, from the deepest places in us. God, make things right. Come down and judge. And God's people in every generation have been crying out to God to make things right. For God to do something. And pilgrims in every age and in every era have walked this road with God, have walked this road toward God, feeling like aliens and strangers in the world, looking for God to act. And He did. He came to earth Himself. He came and walked this road. He became a pilgrim in an alien and foreign land. And He made His own journey literally up to Jerusalem. And He was surrounded by lying lips. He was surrounded by deceitful tongues. He was surrounded by those who sought violence against Him personally. And instead of calling out to God for God to bring down His wrath and judgment on all of them, He spread out His arms and asked God to bring down His wrath and His judgment on Him. And instead of asking that His enemies be destroyed, while hanging there on the cross, He asked that they be forgiven. And that leaves us where the psalmist finds himself. Dwelling in Meshach and living among the tents of Kedar. What in the world does that mean? Well, Meshach and Kedar were two very real places. Meshach was an area or a town or a city up by the Caspian Sea in the area that is now modern-day Turkey, Russia. They all come together right there. And the folks of Meshach were just known in the ancient world as brutal, terroristic, cruel, inhuman folks. They had two things that they traded. They traded in ships and they traded in people. They were slave traders is what they were. And they would capture slaves and they would ship them out. And they were cruel and they were barbaric. And that's what the people of Meshach were known for. Over 1,000 miles away were the tents of Kedar. Kedar was a place in Saudi, what is modern-day Saudi Arabia, in the Arabian desert. Some folks say that the Kedar was one of the 12 sons of Ishmael. I don't know whether that is exactly right or not, but they were known in their day as fierce warriors. They were the military arm of the Arabs in the desert who would ride out and raid. And so what he is doing is just poetically naming two places that everyone would have known as places you would not want to be, that you would not want to live. And he says, woe to me, that's the kind of world that I live in. I live in Meshach, I dwell in the tents of Kedar. He's a person of peace, living in the midst of chaos and lies and violence. He's of the people of God living among ungodly people. And again, that's where we find ourselves. And that is what I'm calling the uncomfortable truth of this psalm. See, I told you it wasn't going to be happy. It's just this uncomfortable truth. It's honestly something I love about the Psalms. It's how uncomfortably truthful they are. They do not shy away from reality. And as pilgrims moving toward God, our journey through life is painful. It is hard. It is difficult. it is full of trouble, and we have enemies because we live and move through a world that has exchanged the truth of God for lies. And that's why we start with this song as we make our journey. That's why this is the first psalm we sing as we ascend. It's why pilgrims always started with this song. It's an acknowledgement of reality. It's an acknowledgement of where we find ourselves. And it's an acknowledgement of wanting something more and something better. And so today, not just as we read this psalm, but in our life today, as God's people have done for thousands of years, we begin by crying out to God for help. We cry out to God in our distress. We cry out to God because we have confidence that He will hear us and that He in due time will answer and save us. And so one of the things I want to encourage you to do as we make this journey together over the next number of weeks is to be really honest with yourself and with God. Cry out to God how you really feel, what you are really experiencing. Tell Him He can handle it. He's been handling it for thousands and thousands of years. And He can handle it for you. So be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Even cry out for Him to do something. Even if it's not the very best thing that could be done, cry out for Him to do something because He's going to do what is best. So admit to Him and to yourself that you're not content, that you are not satisfied with this world or with your circumstances or with your reality, because it's only then that we get to move forward. When we realize, I don't want to be here, I want to be somewhere else. I want to be in these circumstances, I want to be in different circumstances. I don't want to be thinking this way, I want to be thinking another way. I don't want to be feeling this way, I want to be feeling a better way. We want to move from where we are to where God is. And where He wants us to be. And it begins by acknowledging where we are and acknowledging that we're ready to move. That's when we start our journey toward God and toward something better. And again, I'm going to quote Eugene Peterson. He said, this dissatisfaction coupled with... See, we don't want to just remain in dissatisfaction. This dissatisfaction coupled with a longing for peace and a longing for truth can set us on the pilgrim path to God. And so after you cry out to God, then take a step. Take a first step on this journey toward God. Take a step on this pilgrim journey as we go up to God and to His presence. And decide again today. You have decided before, but decide again today. To say no to the world and yes to God. To say no to the lies of the world that we are bombarded with. And say yes to the truth of God. Say no to the violence and the ugliness and the chaos and the strife of the world. And say yes to the peace and the grace of God. And see, the Bible calls this yes repentance. Such a great Bible word. Such a great concept, this idea of repentance. It's the very first word in a Christian's life. Repent. As John the Baptist came onto the scene and began to preach, the very first word he said was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Folks, that's what we're longing for, is the kingdom of God, life in Jesus Christ. And he said, repent, because it's here. And then Jesus came on the scene, and the very first thing Jesus preached was the same thing John preached. Repent. Turn away from this and come to this because it's at hand. And then Peter, when he preached the very first sermon, he concluded by saying what? Repent and be baptized. And then we go all the way to Revelation, and we get to that last letter, to that last church. And the last thing it says is be zealous and repent. It's a decision. See, that's what repentance is. Repentance is not an emotion. Repentance is a decision. It's a decision that today I'm going to go toward God. And so cry out to God and repent and turn and take a step toward Him. Decide that you have been told a pack of lies about yourself and your neighbor. And decide you want to know the truth. The truth about Jesus. The truth about how we live with each other. And so repentance is that decision to believe Him and to follow Him. And repentance is a decision to be a pilgrim. Again, that's that uncomfortable truth. Repentance is a decision that I am a pilgrim. That I am on a journey. That I am not home yet. That this world is not my home. That I am just passing through. That there is another place that I haven't even been yet. But in my heart, I know that it is home because it's where God lives. And the whole history of Israel, as we look through the Old Testament, Israel, who originally sang these songs, their whole history can be summed up really in two decisions they made to repent, like I'm talking about repentance. Two decisions that in their history they made to reject one world and leave it and go to another world. And the first one was when God called Abraham to leave his home and everything he knew and go to a place that he was going to show him. That's the first decision that Israel made in their history. The second was when Moses led the people out of Egypt. And Mesopotamia, where Abraham was, and Egypt, where Moses and the Israelites were, those were the two greatest civilizations known. Those were the civilizations that were wise, that had all the knowledge and all the science, that had all the medicine, that had all the power and the legal structures and the political systems. They were the world. That was the world. And God called his people out of it. And said, come to something different. And in the meantime, this decision is going to mean that you're going to be pilgrims. And so Israel became a pilgrim people, making their way through the world toward God, dwelling in Meshach and in the tents of Kedar. And that's where we find ourselves as well. Because saying yes to God and no to the world doesn't miraculously remove us from the world. While we follow God, we're still in the world. Because that's where God wants us to be and where God needs us to be. To live for God in this world. To live the truth of God in this world. To live the forgiveness of God in this world. To live the grace of God in this world. To live the love of God in this world. Those are the words of the first song that we are singing, these Psalms of Ascents.